Welcome to Exploring the Marketplace, a podcast all about how faith impacts our guests' careers and lives. I'm Sean Bowles here with my co-host.
I'm Bob Haston, and we're here to bring you unfiltered, powerful conversations with industry leaders, entrepreneurs, and culture shapers who are living out their faith in extraordinary ways. From billion-dollar boardrooms to creative industries, we reveal how God is moving through everyday, ordinary people just like you, and this podcast will give you courage, which is our goal.
Yeah, these are the stories you don't get to hear on Sundays. Plus, we get to dive deep in the latest trends in business, finance, entertainment, and politics, giving you real insight from a kingdom and biblical perspective.
This is where faith meets influence. This is Exploring the Marketplace.
Welcome to Exploring the Marketplace, where faith meets career and calling meets culture, and the Holy Spirit's invited in every step of your business journey. I'm Bob Haston.
And I'm Sean Bowles. I'm so glad we're here, Bob. This is season five. We're in season five, and we have some of the most incredible guests on the show because they're everyday people that you would never hear necessarily on a radio show or on, you know, like who would be speaking at the White House or something, but they're people that we get to hear their stories, sometimes their breakdowns or breakthroughs, their letdowns, and then their total overcoming victories. And today our guest is Jake Weidman, who's one of only 9 certified master penmen in the world. And he's by far the youngest, as well as he's an incredible carver, like a master art carver. And he brings a level of craftsmanship and God-honoring excellence to all of his work that's literally stunned audiences globally, from TEDx stages, for commissions, for major, major corporations. And he's going to tell us some of the journey of how he became an artist, because he didn't feel inside of him that art, even though it always followed him as one of his, he calls it like one of his greatest passions of life, that this could be his calling or career.
It's so great. So today in Real Talk, Sean, we're going to talk about what is your calling? What is your career? What's the difference? And how do we understand if God's calling us into something else? It's super exciting. I know that when I was a young person, I wanted to be a lawyer, just like my Uncle Lou. He was a lawyer. I wanted to be a lawyer. I worked in his law office in the summers, and that I was on my path. But as I got a little bit older, I realized, wow, all Uncle Lou's doing is solving problems. It seems like a bummer. And then he's looking at all these law books and looking up all this case law, and I don't think that's very fun. So I know, I'll paint houses.
Oh, that sounds just like the same thing.
Yeah, kind of just like the same thing. And you know, I could go in and paint a bathroom at the end of the day and say, look at that. Your bathroom was purple and now it's this beautiful shade of blue, and everybody was happy. So God sort of led me into this thing when I thought one thing. And I think that a lot of people who are listening really are trying to, or have figured out what God's calling for them is.
Well, and I think you helped define it on this show many times, where it's like our calling and our career can be the same thing. And they're not always the same thing, because some people just do a career so that they can fulfill their calling. They get the resource from and everything else to fulfill their calling outside of their career. Mm-hmm. But it can be the same thing. And many times God wants it to be the same thing. Before, it's Ephesians 1 and Ephesians 2, it says before time began, God predestined us and also chose works for us that would bring us alive, or that works before time began. And when you think about that, there's 3 major ways that people discover their calling besides being born with it. There's a few people who just they're born and they know. They just have that inner compass, a set north. But there's 3 main ways that people discover calling. The first one is they stumble into it just through the series of events in life. They figure it out as life goes by. It's incrementally released, almost like time released over their life, because God wants them to have joy and discovery process of what it is. And sometimes it's because of the brokenness of life too, things that happened, and it helps them to pursue something that would bring more meaning, significance, connection to God, connection to people. The second way that I think people discover their calling is that they're answering a problem in the world around them. And they're like, wait, I have something inside of me that can fix that problem, or can address that problem, or can make a step towards that problem and really make an effort towards it. And I've seen lots of people get into humanitarian or missions because of that. People start churches because of that. People start businesses because of that. And then the third way that people discover is they have an encounter from God. And that happens sometimes. It's a progressive encounter, meaning it's like something awakens in them from God, and then it goes over time. But a lot of people will have that Paul moment where it's like they're on the road and God intervenes or disrupts their life. That's not the majority, though. The majority are answering a problem or discovering it over time. And a lot of what God's put inside of us, it's the glory of God to conceal a matter, it says in Proverbs, and it's the glory of kings to search out what that matter is or what that treasure is. And I think that that's how most of us work. And I think that's confusing to us then, because we're growing up and we don't live in a nurturing environment where there's a lot of people telling us, this is who you are, that's amazing, or that's one in a million talent. That rarely happens. And when it does happen, there's our own insecurities we have to battle to say, does this really matter? Can God use this? Is this significant?
I think it's very interesting. You're talking about your own insecurities, and we all have insecurities. We all, no matter where we are in life, have insecurities and wonder, like, am I an imposter? And we need people to speak into us. Mm-hmm. And I had, I've talked about this many times. I had three men in my life who spoke into me and said, hey, this is what we see. And even though I started painting in a Volkswagen, and that really helped me, provide for my family, all of a sudden I realized, oh, I've got employees and I'm creating a culture. And even though I didn't think I was creative at all, I recognized later in my life that I had created this culture of a really wonderful place to work, and people's lives were being changed, because whether or not I was overt in my Christianity, sometimes I was, sometimes I wasn't, I was creating this culture, and the men in my life who were speaking into me were giving me the strength and the courage to do it, to actually continue to build and be creative in a way that I didn't know that I could. And I think we all need people in our lives who can speak into our lives, who can help us in the areas that we're not good at, and give us courage as we move forward. And that's one of the things I love about this podcast is that we hear stories from people who give us courage. They give you and I courage, and they give our listeners and viewers courage.
Totally. And I heard an old pastor one time when I was young, I might've been 18 or 19 years old. And he was sharing, he said, you'll know you're on the right path of discovering, who you are and your calling and what you're supposed to be doing, because God will send people into your life. Then they'll recognize that you're in that development process, and they'll want to feed that process in you. And I'm not saying everybody will have tons of mentors, or everybody will have like a spiritual father or mother who grooms them for everything. That sometimes is a misconception. Like we look for people to be door openers for us, almost like we're a victim of this world. Like, we need someone to make this happen for us. We have God inside of us. He will make it happen for us. He's already paid the price on the cross. But he does give us teachers, and he does give us mentors, and sometimes he gives us fathers and mothers who help us. And I think I love that you were open, because there were men who were like lawyers and a pastor and different people who weren't even in the same occupation as you, but you recognize the value of their voice. And I think sometimes what happens is when people are opening up to something that is really about calling, or it's really about what they can do in life, they want to hoard it, and they're afraid of voices speaking into it. Yeah, because they've had negative voices. We've all had negative voices against things we want to do. But I think that one of the signs that God's trying to develop you is that he brings people along at the right time. When I was doing the video game company, I did it for a number of years. It wasn't like a main thing I did in life, but it was an opportunity God gave me for a couple of years. There's a man who walked with me who was, he was a trainer for leadership culture for Fortune 500 companies. And he spent about 9 months, just said, I want to go to lunch with you. I want to talk to you about what you're doing and building. And then I was like, can you help me? Like, I don't even understand how to do this component, to manage 9 creative people, let alone we were managing the Universal team, because it was the Universal Studios. And I was like, I don't know how to do this. Like, I've never been put in management like this. Can you help me? And he couldn't do a lot, because it was either going to be natural in me and happen, or I wasn't going to be qualified for it, and I was going to self-destruct that really. But he recognized that I had a gift of leadership in my life and management in my life, especially for artisans. And so he spoke into that. And I felt so empowered, because somebody who knew how to understand culture of a company came in and spent time with me. Out of all the people he could spend time with, the value of his time was more than if I was given a check or something. Yeah. And it was so wild to just feel like in that moment, I've taken that experience into other things I've done in life and leadership and management and these kinds of things. And I had so much value in my heart come alongside of my heart in that moment because of him. And I we're not in a relationship in a major way. Now, it's not that we just lost contact. It's not that, but it wasn't, like your Uncle Lou, who, your whole life was in your life. But I've had other people who were. But we have to recognize whether it's the long-term person, or if it's just somebody that God brings his father heart or his mentoring heart, the Holy Spirit's voice through, that we have to recognize those times of value and let that shape us.
And it's really cool because you've done that for countless others. That man did that for you. You've done that for countless others. And we give away what we've received. And I think that, you know, to our listeners and viewers, if you don't have that person in your life, ask the Lord to bring that person to your life to help you, to guide you, to mentor you. And he did for me, he did for Sean, and he will for you. So I just think, and that helps you to get to your calling as you move through your life. Well, Sean, that was a really great Real Talk. Tell us about our guest. Tell us about who we're going to talk to next.
I love our guests. I love when we have artists on the show because I have the soul of an artist, even though I'm not doing artistic work as a primary goal or passion. But Jake Weidman is one of only 9 certified master penmen in the world and holds the distinction of being the youngest ever to receive this title. Can you imagine being a penman? So he does like his, or just go to his website. I mean, his calligraphy is what kings and queens would use, or what presidents would use. This is what this kind of person does. He's a self-taught artist though, across multiple disciplines: calligraphy, drawing, painting, woodworking, master carving, engraving. He's known for integrating traditional like calligraph flourishes into fine arts in ways that captivate bold, faith-based, and mainstream audiences. And Jake's remarkable craftsmanship has led him to work with Apple, Crossway Books, Biola University, and he shared his story on TEDx and platforms just all over the place, Q, PBS Television. While much of his work is for private collectors only, his influence spans both the creative and spiritual landscapes. And he's just recently even released a book that I think is going to help others to pursue and be challenged by the mastery of beauty as a form of worship. And so we're going to interview Jake up next.
I want to invite you to partner with us to spread the gospel around the world. And we're doing this through our TV shows and our podcasts, our social media. We're helping Christians navigate culture with a biblical worldview of what God's doing right now in society, news, entertainment, the church, through the Sean Bowles Show, which is our weekly commentary show on podcasts. We're building courage with our ministry audience for their calling and their careers to exploring the marketplace, which is a CBN news show and a podcast. And we're helping thousands to grow spiritually in their connection to Christ and training them to hear God's voice. And we're activating them in their gifts and helping them to have coaching tools for their inner development through Spiritual Growth Academy online. On top of this, I get to minister around the world with Sound Biblical Truth on Prophetic Edge through YouTube all week long. And we have Sunday services even with YouTube. And we have weekly videos, and this doesn't even touch other social media that we do. I, of course, do a lot of ministry with TBN, and I host a lot of different media outside of what we're doing in our ministry, but we want to have you come help us. We want to invite you to help us expand our reach. And we are on testimony overload of the goodness of God, changing people's lives through the impact that we're having as a ministry, but we need you to help us create this media, this ministry. You can be a part of our team and our family, and we get to pray for you when you do this. We pray for our partners weekly. We get to resource you. We send you regular resources, both in the mail, but also online, because we want you to be equipped and reinforced. And we also have monthly partner meetings where you get to connect with me and our Bowles team online live, so you can feel the synergy of what God's doing and let it energize your life, as well as we get to pray for you live every month. And if you can't come live, you still get to watch the video and get the prayer, because we take whatever God's doing in our ministry and we impart it to you so you can have the benefit. But become a partner today so our fruit becomes your fruit.
Well, welcome back. We're here with Jake Weidman. Jake, we're so happy to have you here.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Jake, I was looking at your Instagram, and I'm sure people will look at it after this episode. I have not seen art like your Instagram. It feels like old Renaissance classic wood carving and these, I mean, and wow. Your pendant and all these things. Like, I'm looking at it going, who is this guy? Where is this coming from? It's so profound. I was laughing. I asked the producer and Bob, I said, out of the three of us, probably Bob's the only one who can afford your art because it's so intricate and so detailed. It's phenomenal. Take us on the art journey. How did you become an artist, and where did this all start?
Yeah. You know, art was one of those careers that chose me long before I chose it. In fact, you know, I doubted my path into art, you know, ever since I was young, even though, you know, like I grew up and art was like, it was my oldest friend, my favorite pastime, my first form of worship. It was like, it was the thing that I always loved to do, always the thing that I gravitated towards. And then at the same time, it was always overlooked. I never thought I would do it as a career, and certainly not as a calling. You know, I thought in order to be like used by God, I'd have to improve my usefulness. And right. for whatever reason, I just thought like, you know, being an artist wasn't all that useful. I just, I didn't think God could make sense of that. So, I'd done it from very early on. I just knew I was like, I'm not going to actually be an artist. It was even evident in the way that it played out in my artwork, almost to like a comical degree. Because, you know, here I was like making art all the time. When I was really young, I didn't want to be an artist. I wanted to be a cowboy. And so I used to draw pictures of horses obsessively. And then as I grew out of that phase, I thought I'd follow in my father's footsteps and become a pilot in the Air Force. So I drew fleets of airplanes, including, you know, a mural of a C-130 breaking through my wall. And I did it when I was 12.
Wow.
And, wow. You know, stained the carpets in my room. But thankfully, my parents were very permissive and uplifted the gift even before I could see it. And then after that, you know, I went to high school and continued to pursue art and had this deep love for it. Got lots of accolades, national awards. My teachers even wanting me to pursue art as a career and imploring me to do so, saying like, Jake, you have a very rare talent. And it's like, you should really put that to work. And I was like, no, I just, it's always going to be the side thing for me. So in high school, I decided I'm going to pursue psychology. And so I went to Biola University and got my undergraduate degree in psychology, thinking I would be, you know, a lifetime counselor, specifically like with kids, and then doing art therapy on the side. And that was sort of the way that I would kind of keep my passion alive and as the sidecar to the main thing that I was doing. But it was after graduating from college with this shiny new degree in psychology, and I wasn't able to get a job doing, you know, like anything else but art. You know, it was all these like odd jobs that kept coming along. And being that I was in like massive school debt, I couldn't say no to whatever job came my way. And so I was doing everything from wedding invitations to, you know, church murals, high school commencement trophies, t-shirt design, anything and everything that came my way. And it, you know, ironically enough, it was something that was really rounding out my skill as an artist, though I couldn't see it. Even in that moment, I was like, no, you know, art will never be my full-time thing.
So obviously God was showing you that it was going to be your full-time thing. And once that got into your head, how did you start to move forward? And how did this creativity of this, how did the carving start?
You know, all of those things, like you see them, like you see the ways that they were sort of nurtured all the way along. Like even the carving started, you know, early back, like whittling in Boy Scouts. And then I was in shop class in high school. And while everybody was making like cutting boards and, you know, different coasters, things like that, I wanted to make a carousel style rocking horse, complete with
of course,
like 5 foot long rockers and a spiraling brass pole. And the shop teacher at the time, he's like, I showed him my plans. I had drawn out all the blue plans for building this rocking horse. And he was like, he goes, it's incredibly ambitious, Jake, but I've seen your other artwork and, you know, go for it. So, wow. So, you know, it was like everything was self-taught, and I never actually went to art school in any traditional sense. It was just all of these art forms were naturally grown in me. I had that aptitude for them, but at the same time, I was like, you know, I don't know what exactly to do with this. Mm-hmm. And then, even in college, you know, I was, I'd worked at that point obsessively on my handwriting. And so this is where calligraphy starts coming in from this sideways angle is like, I can still remember the day I was in cognitive psychology class and I was taking notes. And by the time that I had gotten to college, you know, having like worked obsessively on my cursive handwriting, you know, it was incredibly ornamental. My teachers used to say this, your essay test looks like the Declaration of Independence. and they'd often ask to like keep my my tests afterwards. But there was one day in cognitive psychology class, and there was this girl sitting next to me. And she leaned over to me and she said, Jake, I just got engaged to be married. I've been going through like a slew of wedding calligraphers trying to find someone to design our wedding invitations. She says, I can't find anyone who has handwriting as beautiful as yours. So would you design my wedding invitations? And I was like, you know, I don't know any formal style of calligraphy. You know, I'm just working with a ballpoint pen here. And so I went back to my room that evening and did a search on the internet. And I found this small association that was keeping the art of penmanship alive and this tradition of what it meant to become a master penman. And I found this video of one of the masters writing in this grainy YouTube video, but he was doing this beautiful script with this dip pen, and he was writing in white ink on black paper, which made it just all the more magical. And I saw it and I was like, that's it. You know, that's exactly what I want to do. You know, it was like finding the girl of your dreams and knowing you would do anything to have her and like not let her get away. And so there, even though I was still in school for my psychology degree officially, unofficially, I started pursuing my certificate as a master penman. So it was all along that, you know, these different disciplines sort of raised their heads in these unconventional ways. And when there seemed that there would be no way, you know, God made a way for me to learn exactly what I needed to at the time when I was most passionate about it. Mm-hmm. And that continued to round out my skill as an artist.
And I have a question about that, because you were feeling disconnected from the very thing God created you for. And I think a lot of people feel disconnected from whether they're an artist and they do it all along and they're like, well, this can't be it. It's like, that's too good. It's too hard to pursue that as a career, or it's not that can't be beautiful enough, or can't be big enough, or whatever it is. Cause people have this idea, almost like these delusions of what it needs to look like.
Yeah.
How did you graduate that inside of yourself and feel like, this is what God gave me, this is worthy, like this is right? Where was that graduation point, or where was that point where you accepted that?
You know, in many ways I'm still in it.
Right.
You know, there's moments when, you know, of course there are like these pivotal moments that have happened in my life. Like I remember sort of the tipping point of my career, and was sitting down with a man who was like, and it happened through this incredible, like supernatural sequence of events of just meeting different relationships and finally being brought before this businessman. He was a financial planner, and then he sat down with me to talk to me about my business. And I'm like, why are you talking to me? I have nothing to manage but debt, you know? Right. And, you know, he was the one that called out in me, said, Jake, you have an amazing gift, mm-hmm. but you need the business infrastructure around you. And that's why I'm here. Mm-hmm. And, you know, some weeks went by of talking through the business plan. And then one day at lunch, meeting in this small, like Mexican restaurant, he took out his checkbook and he wrote me a check, and he slid it across the table. And to me at that time, the amount was like a fortune. And he says, Jake, today I am your patron. And today all of your doubts on whether you are going to make it as an artist, wow, die here. And I mean, I was just, I was a mess. I was a mess right there. I mean, just crying in my guacamole in that small booth in a Mexican restaurant. You know, it was like, that was like my burning bush, my holy ground moment, where it was like, where God really stepped in. Now, you know, it's like, yes, many doubts died that day. And that's when I was like, I'm going to stop doubting the gift that God has put in me. And I'm going to pursue this full out for whatever that means. But that, you know, that being said, there are a panoply of other doubts that continue to creep up and continue to haunt you no matter where you go, because that is just the work of the enemy. that, you know, if you are on your path that God has designated you for, then you can absolutely count on the fact that the enemy is going to want to trip you up. Mm-hmm. And so there are times, even very recently, I mean, within the last couple of weeks, where it's like, even though I'm working on, you know, my magnum opus, this is the greatest commission that I've ever had my entire career. You'd think looking at all my followers on Instagram and looking at the commissions that have come my way that, yeah, Jake, you finally arrived. You're it. You know, those doubts are behind you, but they're not. You know, the truth of the matter is that, you know, it's like that is an ongoing battle, and mm-hmm. kind of like Nehemiah building his wall. It's like you have to have a sword in one hand while building with the other. And so it's like I walk simultaneously with a sword and a pen, and you know, there are times when the pen does feel mightier than the sword, and it does the work of both. But I rely heavily on God for Him to set out exactly what the work is that He has for me to do, and for the battle that He is calling me into.
We're both speechless. It's like, yeah. I feel like people need to watch a movie of your life.
Well, that'd be a very long, boring movie, and for a slow artist, but
Well, and you're such a great communicator. So I think I'm so glad our audience gets to listen to you today, because I think that there's people who are they're in the at war with themselves. And I remember one of my mentors years ago, I said, when would I know I'm a mature Christian? This is like I'm in my 25 or something, you know. And she says, when you're not at war with the world, you're not at war with God's calling your life, but you're also not at war with yourself. Mm-hmm. And I just thought that was really interesting. Like, wow, that's really true. Cause there's so many things God's put inside of us that we don't pursue because they're so organic to us. And you watch it from kids. Like, well, I have a 12-year-old who can sing and do art and all this stuff. And I'll ask her, what do you want to do with your singing? And she's like, I don't have that good of a voice, and I don't want to do it. And I'm like, my job as a father is to say, that's a lie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You don't have to do anything great with it. You don't, but you're comparing yourself to people you're seeing on The Voice or on American Idol or something like that, you know, singers. That's not who you're supposed to be. So, but who are you supposed to be in God in it? And so, like, just to help to nurture that. And I feel for you, like, the way that God's taking you on this journey, I think it's so relatable to what people, you know, are going through. Tell us about when you started to do some of these bigger projects, like when you're the carving or the penmanship or these kinds of things. Tell us about the experience of, like, after it's done, like, what do you experience as an artist, since this is a calling, not just a career? Like, talk about that, the difference between calling and career, and how you're walking that out.
Oh yeah. I mean, the way that I feel like it really rises to the level of calling over mere vocation is the end that it serves. You know, C.S. Lewis says it is a foolish notion to ever think that you should create art for art's sake. If you're creating art for art's sake, then you've robbed it of its greatest power from the beginning, because art's greatest power is to always point to something higher than itself. And so with that notion, I know that every time that I create something, that ultimately it's pointing towards something greater than the artwork. And I'm counting on the Lord to lead me into that, so that I posture myself as an artist all the way through the creation and then unto the delivery of that piece. Mm-hmm. And there have been many times where it's like, you know, I know I am walking into something that on an authority that is not my own. You know, like I did early on, one of the greatest commissions I did in my career was I did a painting in a carved frame for this billionaire philanthropist. And I was commissioned by one of his family members to capture his entire legacy in pictographic form. Wow. And represent it through all this symbolism and everything else. And it was crazy. It was a year-long project. It was this like Western style painting of this horse trudging up the mountainside in the rain, and with this rider on his back who was, you know, holding the reins, and with one hand he was like, he had a stern hand because he was firm in his direction, but on the other hand it was more gentle, like gently cradling and leading the horse past some of the like tougher crags of the mountain. And so he was gentle in his leadership too. And then I had carved the whole frame that it went in, and that represented his faith, his family, his wisdom and foresight into business and everything else. And then the day came when, you know, I was supposed to deliver the piece, and I was supposed to deliver it to him directly. Wow. And tell him exactly what it was. Having never met the man in my life, here I had articulated in artistic form everything that his life legacy was supposed to represent. And I remember standing before him just, you know, boldly talking through each and every symbol of the painting and of the carving and of the journal that accompanied it. And you know, it was amazing to see this man, you know, fall to tears. And he said, wow. At one point, he says, you know, I am rarely rendered speechless, but I certainly am right now. And, and so and after delivering that piece, you know, it was amazing. It was so incredibly well received, but oftentimes I am wrung out. I have actually I've expended all of myself more than I actually recognize in the process. Is poured out into the piece. And so there's a massive letdown. And I remember being in my car with my new wife at the time, having just delivered this piece, and I just fell to tears because I have been wrung out. And I know that I was exercising my gift, and not on my own strength, but on that of the Lord's. Wow. And it was his authority, not my own, that was able to speak in that moment in the delivery, but work through every single aspect of that art piece with my fingertips on the brush or my hands around the chisel as I was carving it.
Wow. Wow, Jake, that's an incredible story. I can't even imagine. Talk to us about your new book project and how our listeners and viewers can get a hold of you and see your art.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, just a few months ago, I was finally able to really chronicle all of these different stories that have happened throughout my life and through art and crystallize them in book form. And so in many ways, I really didn't want it to be the Jake show. I didn't want it to be all about me. So it takes on very much the same tone as St. Augustine's Confessions. Mm-hmm. You know, here St. Augustine was at the height of his career as the head of rhetoric in the church in Milan. And he wrote his confessions in this way that's incredibly transparent, incredibly vulnerable. And the root word of vulnerable is vulnus, which means to wound. So in that posture, there's a willingness to not only bear my wounds, but to be wounded, you know, for the sake of my development of the character made into that of Christ. And so this book is very special. It invites you into my journey, really chronicling all these different art pieces throughout my life and the way in which, while I was creating them, God was creating in me. And, wow. And so you really have, you know, a real understanding of what that means as you go through the book. So it's beautifully illustrated and has lots of my pictures and sketches and even the tools that I use on the page as an invitation to the reader to enter in through the back door of my studio and have a deeper conversation of what undergirds all of my artwork.
That's phenomenal. Tell us what it's called. What's the website?
Yes. So my book is called Old Soul, New Creation, Experiencing God Through a Life of Art and Faith. And it's available wow. pretty much anywhere books are sold, but you can get it on signed copies on my website at jakewideman.com.
This is so incredible. Jake, thanks so much for just sharing your story. You are not to put this on you, but you are C.S. Lewis-esque. You just the way you communicate. You have such a gift for communication. I know that our listeners are going to get a hold of your book. And even wow. some of them are going to be sharing this episode just because the language you use is right where a lot of people are at, where it's we need to actually learn how to leave everything on the stage that God sets before us. And yeah. because he's moving through us. And I just think the language I heard today is really inspirational. So thank you so much for just sharing your soul with us.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for being a part of Exploring the Marketplace, where faith and business collide to shape culture. Stay ahead with free resources, online courses, and exclusive content at bowlsministries.com. And even dive deeper with our online training, spiritual growth mentoring community, or grab a copy of Wired to Hear, the book that Bob and I co-authored to help you hear God in your career.
We're building a global conversation. You can be part of it. Partner with us or donate today, or recommend new guests for our show to fuel the impact. Let's stay connected. Follow us on social media at Sean Bowles or at Bob Hassan.
And did you love the episode? Share it with your network and leave a review. It helps us so much to reach more people who are ready to bring the kingdom into the marketplace.
See you next time.